Music is often called a universal language. But this is only partly true. Different cultures have different kinds of music. And each has its own qualities that appeal to members of that culture. What is universal is music itself. Music is played everywhere. In rural areas, and in urban centers throughout the world. In some cultures, music is part of every custom, something that most people participate in, like religious worship. In other cultures, music is primarily a profession for the talented few. This is especially true of music that requires disciplined training in sophisticated techniques, often called art music. Many cultures embrace both professional performance and participation.
In Africa, where music has been passed down for centuries from one generation to the next by word of mouth, music serves many functions beyond that of entertainment. In a land where many peoples have had no written language, music has been a vehicle for conveying customs and traditions. Children learn the history and moral code of their people through songs. Nearly all African music has religious roots. Because of its power to convey feelings directly and simply, music is felt to provide contact with the world beyond. Rhythmic complexity is a characteristic feature of African music. The effect is produced by simultaneously overlaying many simple but different rhythms. Rhythms created not only by instruments, but by singing, hand clapping, and foot stomping. In many parts of Africa, dancing involves coordinating different parts of the body with the various rhythms of the music. The head may move in one rhythm, the arms in another, and the shoulders, trunk, and feet in distinct rhythms of their own. A wide variety of devices is used in singing: glissando, nasality, yodeling, growling, humming, and imitating animal sounds. The instruments used in African music are equally varied. They include examples from all four basic groups into which instruments are classified according to the way their sound is produced. Chordophones are instruments based on the principle of stretched strings. This includes those with strings stretched tightly within a bow-like frame, like the lyre or the modern harp, and those with strings stretched across a hollow box, like this instrument or the modern guitar. Aerophones are instruments that require the blowing of air. This includes trumpet-like instruments whose sound is generated by buzzing the lips, as well as flute-like hollow tubes and instruments with vibrating reeds at one end. Membranophones are drums, instruments constructed by stretching a skin or membrane over a frame. In Africa, there are many kinds of drums, used both for music and as a means of communication. By imitating the tonal inflections of a language, drummers send messages over long distances in their own or foreign tongues. Idiophones include the infinite variety of instruments that are struck, scraped, or rattled. In Africa, almost any material that can produce a sound is used as a musical instrument. Although the examples here have been drawn from African music, instruments from all four groups have been found in most cultures of the world, from as far back as we can trace.
Oriental music sounds very different from African music, although it has served many of the same functions in society. Music in China has, for thousands of years, been tied to religion and philosophy, as well as to social customs. In China, music is considered inseparable from poetry. Poets use song as an extension of speech. Large instrumental groups were formed centuries ago to accompany the musical entertainers who performed for the nobility. Late in the 1200s, drama, music, singing, dancing, and pantomime were combined on stage into Chinese opera, a form of which is still performed today. Chinese music uses a variety of different scales derived from mathematical principles. Each has a symbolic meaning. Chinese music since ancient times has called for a large array of instruments: metal or stone bells, metal gongs, aerophones, and various chordophones resembling the mandolin and the zither. Japanese music, like Chinese music, is closely linked to poetry and dance. While the Japanese drew upon Chinese traditions, they developed them in different ways. Gagaku, still heard in some parts of Japan today, is a flowing, graceful instrumental music that flourished around the year 700. The no, a complex kind of music drama, is another important Japanese style. The masked performers do slow, stylized movements accompanied by a chorus, a flute, and drums. In recent years, Japanese musicians have made significant contributions to Western classical music, which has been an important part of their musical training throughout this century.
In Java and Bali, two islands in the East Indies, music centers around the gamelan, an ensemble of metal and wooden percussion instruments. While the music of the two islands is related, it is quite different from that of surrounding cultures. Some gamelans have as many as 80 instruments, tuned according to several different systems, all part of national and religious traditions. Ever since Western musicians discovered gamelan music late in the 1800s, they have been fascinated by its unusual sound quality and rhythmic complexity. The island of Bali is also the home of the monkey dance, a traditional ritual performance that engages the participation of virtually an entire village. India has one of the most ancient and sophisticated musical traditions in the world. For thousands of years, music in India has been associated with mythological and religious beliefs, following a system of symbols and images. Indian music is based on the ancient system of ragas, which are arrangements of notes somewhat like scales. Each raga is associated with a particular emotion, or part of the body, or time of day, or season, so the choice of raga has great symbolic significance. The pieces of music based on ragas are also called ragas. Each begins with a slow, meditative introduction, followed by a series of improvised variations. Rhythmic momentum builds until the music culminates in a fast section based on a specific rhythmic pattern called a tala. Music in India has always been considered an essential part of an upper-class education. Even some deities and well-known rulers were celebrated for their musical talents. The most popular Indian instruments are the veena and sitar, stringed instruments, along with several types of drums. Although Indian music began as part of religious and royal functions, it spread gradually to other social situations. Contemporary musicians have helped this music to continue to evolve and to attract attention in other parts of the world. Arabian music is based on principles similar to India's system of ragas. Like Indian music, it is largely improvised. Since the Muslims prohibited music during worship, Arabian music was mainly non-religious. Skilled musicians, along with harems of singers and dancers, entertained members of the nobility. Plucked cordophones were favored, although wind and percussion instruments were also used.
Before European colonists came to the Americas, the Indians of the Western Hemisphere had their own music. Inseparable from religious ritual, this music was usually vocal, with instruments used occasionally. Some instruments were believed to have supernatural powers. When European colonists arrived around the year 1500, they brought their music with them. The Africans, brought in as slaves by the colonists, came with their own different musical heritage. The vivid color of Spanish music, combined with the throbbing rhythms of African music, are the strongest elements in Latin American music today. With its powerful rhythmic contours, Latin American music has given rise to many distinctive dance styles.
Music in all its amazing variety is one of our most valuable cultural legacies. Yet today, many unique, lesser-known styles are being threatened with extinction. As pop culture becomes more and more profitable, and less attention is given to the preservation of local styles. So much early music has already been lost that we don't even know exactly where and how music began. Our theories come from observation. We know that when people repeat the same words and phrases over and over, they begin to sound like music. Repetitious chants have been used in religious and other rituals in virtually every culture we know. Perhaps this is how music began. Music may also have started as people tried to imitate the sounds of animals and birds. Its power to invigorate and excite makes music a natural accompaniment to battle, to work, dancing, and other festive activities. Music has always been associated with magic, and by extension, musicians have often been viewed as having magical powers. Music can induce trance-like concentration and a sense of spiritual elevation. It also has the power to stimulate intense emotions, qualities that have led religious and political leaders throughout history to censor music or use it to their own advantage.
Although we cannot date its beginnings, evidence of music as much as 4,000 years old has been found in Mesopotamia. Many remnants of ancient instruments have been unearthed, but we know virtually nothing about the music played on them because so little written music has come down to us from early civilizations. The ancient Egyptians probably learned something about music from the Mesopotamians. Music was a feature of Egyptian daily life, as well as of its festivals, processions, and dramatic presentations. The ancient Hebrews also considered music important. The Old Testament describes King David as a composer, performer, and inventor of musical instruments. David was able to soothe King Saul by singing songs accompanied by his lyre. Although the shofar, a kind of ram's horn, was the only instrument allowed in the synagogue, portions of the Bible were chanted by trained singers during Hebrew religious services, sometimes with florid improvisations. Psalms were often sung in one of the oldest musical forms we know, call and response, in which a phrase sung by a leader is repeated by the group, either exactly or with some variation. Call and response is still widely used in folk, popular, and religious songs today. The ancient Greeks held music in the highest esteem, relating it to science, mathematics, politics, and philosophy. Plato believed that music was an important but potentially dangerous spiritual, psychological, and political influence, an idea that strongly impressed thinkers of the Middle Ages. Ptolemy, Pythagoras, and other Greek scientists and mathematicians were among the first to develop music theory. For them, music was closely tied to laws of astronomy. The chorus was not only an essential component of Greek drama, but also a popular activity for people of all social classes. Children's choirs were a part of civic and religious festivals. Poetry and music were so closely linked that the Greeks used the same word for both. Bards wandered from place to place, singing and reciting, accompanying themselves on a kithara. As much as we know about the importance the Greeks placed on music, we know practically nothing about the music itself. Nevertheless, in later times, Europeans idealized their conception of Greek music, and the development of Western art music was influenced by this conception for many centuries. The ancient Romans, whose civilization grew as Greek civilization declined, did not share the Greek esteem for music. Music became mainly a form of mass entertainment designed to appeal to uneducated popular tastes. Rome, as the center of the Roman Empire, served as a cultural conduit for the influences of Greek, Hebrew, and Egyptian traditions and culture. Hidden away in the catacombs under the city of Rome, early Christians were strongly affected by all these traditions as they shaped their own forms of religious observance and of music.